Chapter 40. There was room for everyone in the back of the limo. I was pretty sure that there hadn't been the first time I'd ridden in it, but it had gotten several extra feet of seats along the walls, and everyone was sitting there being only a little bit crowded as Glenn Mile charged out to assault Chicago's streets.
"I still think we should try a frontal assault," Sonya argued.
"Suicidally stupid," Martin said, his voice scornful.
"Surprise tactic," Sonya countered. "They will never expect it after 1,000 years of never being challenged. Harry, what do you think?"
I said.
And then Ebenezer's voice said, quite clearly and from no apparent source,
"Damn your stubborn eyes, boy. Where have you been?"
I went rigid with surprise for a second. I looked around the interior of the limo, but no one had reacted, with the exception of my godmother. Leah sighed and rolled her eyes. Right. The speaking stones. I'd stuck mine in the bag, but since I was holding it on my lap now, it was close enough to be warmed by the heat of my body to function. It was possible to send terse messages through the stones without first establishing a clear connection, as my mentor and I had done back toward the beginning of this mess.
"Damnation and hellfire, hoss," growled Ebenezer's voice. "Answer me."
I looked from Sonya to my godmother.
I kind of have to take this call.
Sonya blinked at me. Thomas and Murphy exchanged a significant glance.
"Oh, shut up," I said crossly. "It's magic, okay?"
I closed my eyes and fumbled through the bag until I found the stone. I didn't really need to show up in my outlandish costume for this conversation, so I thought about my own physical body for a moment, concentrating on an image of my limbs and flesh and normal clothing forming around my thoughts.
"So help me, boy, if you don't..."
Ebenezer appeared in my mind's eye, wearing his usual clothing. He broke off suddenly as he looked at me, and his face went pale.
"Hoss, are you all right?"
"Not really," I said. "I'm kind of in the middle of something here. What do you want?"
"Your absence from the conclave did not go over well," he responded, his voice sharp. "There are people in the Grey Council who think you ought to be trusted. They're very, very wary of you. By missing the meeting, you told them that either you don't respect our work enough to bother showing up, or else that you don't have the wisdom and the fortitude to commit to the cause."
"I never saw the appeal of peer pressure," I said. "Sir, I'm finding a little girl. I'll come play council politics after I get her home safe, if you want."
"We need you here."
"The kid needs me more. It's not as noble as trying to save the whole white council from its own stupidity, I know. But by God, I will bring that child out safe." Ebenezer's mostly bald pate flushed red.
"Despite my orders to the contrary."
"We aren't an army. You aren't my superior officer, sir."
"You arrogant child," he snapped. "Get your head out of your ass and get your eyes on the world around you, or you're going to get yourself killed."
"With all due respect, sir, you can go to hell," I snarled. "You think I don't know how dangerous the world is? Me?
I think you're doing everything in your power to isolate yourself from the only people who can support you," he said. "You feel guilty about something. I get that, Hoss. You think you ain't fit for company because of what you've done." His scowl darkened still more. "In my time, I've done things that would curl your hair. Get over it. Think.
After I get the girl out."
"Do you even know where she is?" Ebenezer demanded.
"Chichen Itza," I said. "She's scheduled to be the centerpiece of one of the Red King's shindigs in the next couple of hours." Ebenezer took a sharp breath, as if I'd poked him in the stomach with the end of a quarterstaff.
"Chichen Itza? That's a confluence. One of the biggest in the world. The Reds haven't used it in... not since Cortez was there."
"Confluence, yeah," I said. "The Duchess Ariana is going to kill her and use the power to lay a curse on her bloodline, Susan and me.